2 Kings chapter 19. The thing with rewards, which we're going to look at, is that it seems kind of nebulous. People can't really get an idea of what exactly is a reward, what kind of a reward. It's hard really to get a visual of what kind of reward God has got in store for you. The rewards that you get are earned by faithfulness, not by perfection, because as we know, nobody is perfect. And so it's by faithfulness that you keep on keeping on. And in 2 Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse 8, we read a record here where the king of Assyria was warring against Libna. And Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna. For he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he heard say of Tirhakah, king of Ethiopia, "Behold, he has come out to fight against thee," he sent messengers again to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee." You can see he's a bad guy, right? He's telling Hezekiah to not let God deceive him. Saying, "Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? All these other lands were destroyed. What makes you think you're any different? Have the gods, little g, of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan, Haran, Rezpah, and the children of Eden, which were in Thelasar? Where is the king of Hamath, and the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Seraphim, of Hena and Iva? Where are they?" And Hezekiah received the letter at the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, "O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which had sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and the land." So actually, when they made the threat to Judah, it was a bona fide threat because they knew what had happened to these other nations. "Of a truth, they've destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. For there were no gods but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only." Then Isaiah, son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard." Boy, that must have bolstered his believing. No sooner had shown this letter to God and prayed than he heard from the man of God. Go to Daniel chapter 5. Rewards are for faithfulness, not perfection, because nobody's perfect, right? Daniel 5, verse 1. Belshazzar, king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. See, what they would do is, once they conquered a nation, they would take whatever religious artifacts they had. And in this case, they went to the temple and took the different vessels and so forth, and they're going to party with them. So this is not a good thing. Then he brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was in Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. And they drank wine and praised the gods of gold, and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. The king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts were troubled, I would imagine. So the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. They came in, the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Of course he didn't. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father the king, I say, thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences, dissolving of doubts, were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have heard that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and an excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. Imagine, while they're in their partying, big hand comes and writes on the wall. Writing is on the wall. That's where that saying comes from. The writing is on the wall. Meaning that, you know, this is what's going to happen. And I have heard of thee, verse 16, that thou canst make interpretations, dissolve doubts. And now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. That would be his reward, rulers being authority, being the reward for Daniel. Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known unto him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was like the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and of gold, of brass, of iron and wood and stone, which see not, nor hear not, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and his writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing, Mene. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it, Tekel. Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting, Perez. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, put a chain of gold about his neck, made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. So there the reward for Daniel was authority, rulership. And this attitude that these evil kings had is very much like the attitudes that evil men today have when they're in positions of power and authority. They think they can overlord, be overlords of everybody, and they think they're God. They may not say they're God, but the way they act, telling everybody what they must do and how they should live and so on and so forth. So it hasn't changed. In Psalm chapter 2, you see, the world's future leaders will repeat the actions of the past ones. Don't be surprised. It's just the way that it is. Psalms 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from them. You see, you cannot rebel against God and his anointed and expect to win. I mean, they may act like they're going to win, but not going to happen. Verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. His rule shall be from Zion. Then shall he vex them. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said to me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So there's a time coming when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, is going to be a ruler, and his rulership is going to be absolute. You'll always have people, these kings, these earthly kings, who will look to elevate themselves above God, His Son, and everybody else. But the reality of it is that Jesus Christ one day shall reign on earth, and His rule shall be complete. Look in Revelation 19. We're still looking at rewards, which includes crowns and authority. And you're going to see that the rewards, and I've taught this before, if you recall, you're going to see that the rewards that God gives out for your faithfulness will have to do with rulership and authority. If you're faithful in that which is least, then you can be faithful in that which is much. Revelation 19. I'm getting there eventually. And skip on down to verse 15. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now that's in reference to Jesus Christ's return. He is going to be in charge. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look at chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, who reigns? Kings, queens, princes, princesses, right? Rulers, those that are in power and authority, they reign. Look in Revelation chapter 2. Skip back a couple of chapters here. If you're in that first resurrection, which is the resurrection of the just, which is when we're gathered together unto Him, there'll be rewards for you if you've been faithful. And, of course, rewards are by merit. You earn them. Salvation is a gift. You don't earn salvation. It's freely given. But eternity is a long time, so might as well earn some rewards, right? Might as well. Wouldn't you like to have a little bit of authority in life? To be in charge? To be able to see that things happen the way that they should happen, that you know that they should happen, and not to feel helpless as you watch things go down that you don't agree with, that you know are wrong? Wouldn't it be great to have a say in some of these things to where you could make things right? Revelation chapter 2 and verse 26. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter, and they shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Rulership. Those that have overcome and kept his works shall rule with Christ. So now the question is, must be asked, what does it mean to overcome? I mean, that's a simple thing to say, but what really does it mean? How complicated is that? Well, go to 1 John, back a couple of books. 1 John chapter 5. Very simple answer here. Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. The word even doesn't need to be there. It's italicized, indicating that the translators put it there. So, what does it mean to overcome? It's to have faith. What does it mean to have faith? It means that you have confidence and trust in what God has said, to the end that if it's required of you to act, you will act. That's faith. That's simple. Let's read that again, because it's just so simple. Whosoever is born of God. Well, that means get born again, right? Born from above. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believeth unto wholeness. What a tremendous truth. God's children are those that have overcome, and their faithfulness shall be rewarded. Again, I emphasize faithfulness, not perfection. People confuse that because, I don't know why, but people do. People think they need to be perfect in order to get anything in life. You can't be perfect. You're not perfect. You won't be perfect. But you can be faithful. You know, a just man falls 7 times, but he gets up again 7 times. It doesn't matter how many times you fall. What matters is, do you get back up? Do you get back up and walk again? You know, walking is just 1 step from falling anyway. So don't be afraid to walk. Walk on the Word of God. And just keep doing it. Whether you make a mistake or not, well, that's life. You just keep on keeping on. That's faithfulness. If it means 100 times, it's 100 times. You just don't give up. Revelation 2 again, please. Let's look at a little bit of this. What does it mean to overcome? Verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. When you eat of the tree of life, it's a figure of speech. It means you have eternal life. So if you have faith in God, and you've had faith, and you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you're born of God, one day, figuratively speaking, you get to eat of the tree of life. Now, the tree of life was in the Garden of Eden, paradise of God. And because man sinned in the garden, Adam and Eve, the tree of life would have been dangerous to them, because when you eat of the tree of life, whatever condition you're in, you stay in that condition forever. So since Adam and Eve had sinned and had lost the connection with God, they could not eat of the tree of life, because if they did, mankind would have been lost forever. So God put cherubims and a flaming sword and drove the Adam and Eve out of the garden. But in the future, when the Lord returns, the tree of life will be in the midst of the paradise of God, and you and I will get to eat of it. Isn't that fantastic? Which will keep you in that state. What state? Eternal life. Immortality forever and ever and ever. Verse 11. He that hath an ear, hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Some people will get raised from the dead only to be judged and have to die again. But if you've overcome, if you had faith, well, then you won't be hurt of the second death. Look at verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in his stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Now that's an Orientalism. They would give a white stone to a person who had committed some kind of a error, sin, and they would write the person's name on the stone. So even though they had the stone that showed that they were forgiven, they still had the evidence that they'd done something to be forgiven of. Here in eternity, there's a name written on the stone that no man knows. So whatever you have done that you've been forgiven of, it's forgotten. No one knows anything about it. Read that again, because it's a fantastic verse. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Manna, of course, is bread from heaven. And I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that received it. Verse 26. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule, you see, because it's authority. Chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Verse 12. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And in chapter 21, you'll skip ahead there a few chapters, just looking at what it means to overcome. In verse 7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Isn't that awesome? Luke 19. And we'll start reading in verse 11. They heard these things, he added, and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, and that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well done, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. That was his reward, authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. But he said to him likewise, be thou also over 5 cities. And then came another, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art austere man, thou hast taken up that thou laidest not down, and reapest thou that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, reaping that I did not sow. Therefore, then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, that at the coming I might have required my own with usury. And he said unto him that stood by, take from him the pound and give to him the 10 pounds. And he said, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. And he said, for I say unto you that unto every one of us that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that shall be taken away from him. But these mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. So for those that didn't do anything with it, there was no faithfulness there. There was nothing there. They just sat on it. And they, of course, lost everything. Revelation 5. Last place we're going to go. So for the most part, you can see that rewards are wrapped up in authority, in having rulership, being able to reign with Christ, being able to rule with him. Revelation chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 6. I behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of my right hand, sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign in the earth. And I beheld that I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and are all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever. So we can see that we get to reign, that is, rule with Christ. And he rules here on earth for 1,000 years. Wouldn't that be awesome to be a part of that, to be able to have a certain amount of authority to be able to execute what the Lord Jesus Christ says to execute over particular countries and cities and nations and whatever, depending on what kind of reward you've earned, how faithful you've been. There are five rewards that are mentioned in the Bible, and I'm just going to tell you what they're called. They're all called crowns. And who wears a crown? A king, prince, princess, or queen, right? The crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the crown of glory, and the crown incorruptible. Five crowns that are given. Five rewards that are mentioned specifically. And they're all mentioned as crowns, which indicates to us that we get to reign, to rule with Christ. We won't be subjects, we'll be rulers. Like it says throughout Revelation, kings and queens and priests of God for 1,000 years. It's a long time. So now you can get a mind picture, because it's easy to think about what it means to be in charge, to have a certain authority over a certain area, whether it be 5 cities or 10 cities, whether it be 1 city, whether it be a small area, whatever. Just a wonderful reality from God's magnificent word. That's a little bit about what rewards actually are.